Good morning, sir.
Ah, Vincent. I've just finished drafting that exclusion clause for the Allied and Chelmsford Building Society, you know, the one for the mortgages.
Wasn't it for one of their television adverts?
Yes, I'm rather pleased with it. See what you think. For modern mortgages, with the stress and worry taken out, come to the Allied and Chelmsford. That's their tagline, as they call it. Now, here's my bit. Applications are subject to status. Your mortgage loan may be secured upon your property or other goods or chattels. Repayments must be made in full. The level of our tolerance may go down as well as up. Repossession can be threatened at will and could cause psychological trauma, loss of sexual appetite and stress-related exploits. The Allied and Chelmsford Building Society is regulated by MAFIA, the Mortgage and Finance Investment Authority.
Very nice, sir.
Yeah, it does feel good doing work that benefits the community. At least working for a building society, you know they're going to pay your fee.
Even if it's over 25 years in monthly instalments. It's a joke, sir.
Yes, well, even that'll be quicker than most of the solicitors who instruct these chambers. It's a disgrace that barristers are the only profession not allowed to sue for their fees.
This is the point I made to the Institute of Barristers Clerks at their annual conference. I told them it's exactly the same thing as telling Melinda Messenger that she can't fondle her own breasts. I was going to go for a more classical analogy, but you know what the clerks are like. Know your audience.
Yes, you know, I haven't had a check-in for weeks. Isn't there anything we can do to up the level of fees?
Well, at the conference, all the senior clerks were going on about conditional fees as the way forward.
Conditional fees?
You agree a fee in advance of the case, but you only get paid if you win.
But that means that in the last 3 tax years, I could have made... Doesn't sound like much of a system.
Well, it's all about risk assessment. You don't take cases unless you know you're going to win. And when you've won, you get a massive increase on your fees based on a percentage of the money awarded to your client. I'm not convinced.
I mean, the more you win for your client, the more you get paid. Well, it means some minor changes, certainly. You just have to be nice to the clients. But
at the moment, conditional fees only apply in personal injury actions, and, well, you don't do much of that work these days, do you?
No, I stopped after that wheelchair case I did. Bloody ungrateful client. I had to be pushed around in that thing for 6 weeks.
If you did want to do a bit more personal injury, I could always have a word with my cousin.
He's a solicitor?
No, he's a wrestler. But he doesn't tell the police that, obviously.
Well, surely there must be one personal injury case in Chambers?
No. I mean, I think the only one is a factory accident case that Mr. Tripping's taken on a conditional fee basis.
Hillary's doing one?
Yeah, just came in for him from some firm of solicitors.
Well, Hillary never leaves anything to chance. Must be a surefire winner.
No, I don't think the claim's worth much, sir.
Well, that's not a problem. With a right medical expert, we can get over that. I wonder if Brian Masterson's still practising.
The orthopaedic specialist?
Yes, he virtually invented the loss of sexual function as a legitimate claim.
Is that so impressive?
It is for a sprained ankle.
Hi, Ruth.
Oh, you look busy.
Yes, I suppose so.
You seem very pleased about it.
Well, it's all crime. The only work Vince ever seems to get me.
He's always brilliant at getting that sort of work, isn't he? He's even better now he's joined his neighbourhood watch scheme.
Seriously, Hillary, have you noticed how most of the criminal cases we get are in some way personally connected to Vince? Either the defendant's a cousin or the solicitor's a friend?
Ah, well, Vince explained that. What it is that his family have what he calls a common physiognomy, which means that they resemble other people. It's quite a problem, apparently, because the police quite often mistake them for some of these other people.
I mean, I have even defended his local vicar on obtaining property by deception. I got him off. But where did all the leathery thing really come from?
You never really believed his story about the 3 wise men, did you?
Don't get me wrong, I'm grateful to have the work. It's just that I don't feel my practice should be based entirely on crime.
Why don't you talk to Vince?
Yes, I will. I don't want to be antagonistic, but I want to speak to him on my terms and on my turf.
Well, why don't you take him out for lunch? You know, get away from Chambers.
You know, that's not a bad idea, actually. Take him to a really good restaurant, make it a treat for him, something different.
He could hardly not be receptive.
Oh, really, it's a really good idea, yeah. I'll go and talk to him. Later. Once he's back from the pub.
Morning, Hillary.
Oh, hello, John.
Well, this room seems to be a hive of legal activity as usual. Excellent.
Just paperwork.
Don't be so modest. Actually, I just popped in to see how you were. I was thinking, we're all so wrapped up in our own individual practices, we never get time to talk about how things are going generally.
I agree. I think it's really important that we support each other.
Absolutely. In fact, well, perhaps it's invidious of me to say this, and I really shouldn't really...
Oh, well, don't say
anything. To me, those sound like the words of a future head of chambers. Beth, you've got it out of me. I'd said it.
Oh, I don't
know. I won't be around forever, Hillary. You know, I've always rather looked on you as a son. Joy and I never... Well, as you know, I was very much against the vasectomy, especially prior to the wedding. It would be rather nice to keep the headship of Chambers in the family. Goodness, I'm rattling on. Tell me what you're up to at the moment.
Oh, not much, sir. I've got one of these conditional fee cases.
Have you? Have you really? Ah, I wasn't aware we had any of those in Chambers. I don't know the first thing about them.
It's only a small claim.
Yes, they often seem that way.
The plaintiff, Mr. Shearing, works in a fruit canning plant. He fractured a bone in his thumb when a can of spiced figs fell off the conveyor belt.
Oh, sorry, a chill just went through me. I just saw that can dropping. You make it so vivid, dropping and dropping faster and faster. It's like someone's just walked over my grave.
Is it?
An aluminium can is a potentially lethal projectile, Hillary. Your poor client must be traumatised.
Well, he seems to be bearing up all right. I don't think he's entitled to much.
Oh, my goodness, you've become a hard nut. I hope I don't end up being mutilated by a razor-sharp metal container and have to come to you for help.
You think I've underestimated the damages?
I'd be amazed if this man's even been able to think about having sex since the accident.
Sex?
You have a good medical expert. As it happens, I know rather a good chap.
Well, if you don't mind.
Of course. And Hillary, please forgive a little paternal advice. This case is clearly a lot bigger than you've accounted for. I mean, there's no criticism in that. I think you should think seriously about bringing in a more senior counsel to share the fee, as the workload.
I don't know anyone.
Think.
I don't know.
There must be someone, surely.
My mind's blank.
Think, think. Look at me and think.
Oh. I don't know. I'd ask you, but you don't do any of that kind of work these days, do you?
Yeah, funnily enough, I've always rather missed it.
Have you?
Actually, yes.
Well, maybe...
What are you thinking of?
Well, I thought that maybe you could come in as a senior counsel.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yes, I know. You're so busy. Sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned it. Forget about it.
Well, hold on. This is just on the top of my head, just left field stuff, but... Why don't I take the case and arrange a conference with the client and the medical expert?
No, I've just got to learn to handle this on my own. It's my case, after all.
Look, I'm not claiming any fee for this helpful chat. I'm not going to fill out a timesheet and bill you for my time. That's not my style and never has been. But I do feel somewhat involved after everything we've discussed on this.
Well, why don't you come in as senior counsel then?
Oh, okay. Hillary Tripping, you are a silver-tongued charmer of the first order. Why don't you go and tell Vince that I'm on board in a fully and legally binding way?
All right, I will.
Don't worry about the fee. I'll talk to him about that.
Okay, I won't.
I've got garden furniture that's quicker on the uptake than that boy.
So I just thought, you know, it's been a while. Not that there's a huge amount to discuss. I mean, a couple of things. Not much more than that. So I just thought, why not let me take you out for lunch? On me, have a chat.
Very kind, miss.
I mean, it doesn't just have to be about practice and Chambers. We can talk about things generally, anything.
Sounds really good.
You're a Chelsea supporter, aren't you?
Millwall.
That's right. Off the rest. Goodness, we're two intelligent people. We don't have to talk about work the whole time, but obviously we'll touch on it.
I'm sure we'll do that.
I don't want this to be antagonistic, Vince. That's not what I'm about. I really do want to take you out for a good lunch. I think it's important.
I agree. Like the man says, it's good to talk.
Good. I'll go and call the restaurant.
The plaintiff, Mr. Shearing, and Mr. James from your instructing solicitor are here, sir.
Ah, share them in, Vince.
This way, please, gentlemen.
Mr. Shearing, John Fullercarp, how are you bearing up, if I may say so? You do look rather drawn. Well, you're bound to be exhausted physically and mentally. It would be strange if your face didn't bear the ugly scars of your considerable trauma.
I'm Philip James of Luckwood, Mr. Fullercarp. This is Mr. Shearing.
All right. I'm sorry, the light. Mr. James, of course, you're looking well. Mr. Shearing, how are you?
Oh, you know, glad to be back at work. I'm feeling okay, actually.
Are you indeed? That, if I may say so, shows commendable spirit.
I wasn't even going to sue over this. I just thought fractured thumb not worth bothering with. It was my wife that saw the solicitor's advert in the local paper. I've got it here. Suffered an injury. Any injury, even a very small one. It may be worth money. Come and see us now to get the large amount of money. See us to those responsible and others for a lot of money. Come to our offices with any injury that you've suffered or are going to suffer. Lockwood's solicitors. Come now and we'll get your probably very large sum of money for you. I read that and I thought, well, you know, Maybe I should have a go.
Yes, of course. We'd like to have been rather more direct, but these somewhat oppressive Law Society guidelines on advertising mean that as a firm we have to pick our words with inordinate care.
Yes, indeed. Now, you all know Hilary Tripping.
Hello.
Now, I've had a look at the various items we're claiming, and I'd like to run through them with you. I don't want to miss anything on your behalf. Is that fairly clear?
That's fine. I mean, actually, I can do most things. Oh, I did just want to ask you about the gloves.
Yes, don't worry, we'll claim for those.
No, it's not the...
Please, Mr. Shearing, we'll get on a lot quicker if you let me dictate the order in which we deal with things. First things first, this is a nasty injury to your thumb. Let's start with the stress incontinence.
You what? I haven't got that.
Do you ever get up in the night to go to the laboratory?
Well, sometimes.
I'm obliged. And is it possible, is it not, that you might visit the laboratory more frequently now than you did prior to the accident?
I don't know.
In that case, you have to agree with me, would you not, that a fortiori, there may be a greater degree of frequency post-accident than prior? Thank you for that. I'll put that in the witness statement. Now, let's turn to the psychological damage.
What psychological damage? Someone dropped a can of figs on my thumb, that's all.
Yes, Mrs. Shearing, I appreciate that this is painful for you, but I want you to try and tell me how you feel when you see a tin of fruit.
Fine.
Well, you're being very brave, Mrs. Shearing. I think we're all rather moved by that. But I want you to open up to me. Don't focus on figs, forget figs. When you see a can of fruit, anything, apricot halves, pineapple chunks, that must hurt.
Yeah, come on, you're joking, right?
You didn't see that can of fruit coming, did you, Mr. Shearing?
No.
You didn't see it coming and it hurt you.
Well...
It set you back, stopped you. You didn't see it. Just like you didn't see all of the other problems in your life.
No.
Problems you can't cope with any more than you could cope with that simple aluminium tin.
That's not true.
The awful truth, I put it to you, is that that tin is a symbol of everything that's ever gone wrong with you, isn't it?
Dr. Masterson's here, sir.
Right, let's move on. I think we can claim for moderate to severe psychological injury. Brian, how are you?
Yes, well, thank you.
This is the plaintiff, Mrs. Shearing.
Yes, no question in my view. There is no way in which this man's injuries could conceivably have been caused by the accident. He's clearly a malingerer.
Brian, we're for the plaintiff.
Yes, I've just been doing a case for the defendants. Yes, I can see there is a marked deterioration of the thoracic vertebrae and a clearly severe restriction in lateral flexion and extension in the upper spine. If anything, this man is playing down his symptoms.
He's fractured a bone in his thumb, Doctor.
Nonsense.
No, he's right.
Yes, well, I was merely giving a preliminary view.
Tell me, how are things at St. Thomas's, Dr. Masters?
Fine, that is fine, the last time I was there.
You have clinics on a Tuesday and a Thursday, don't you?
Not for the last 12 years. I'd like to see more patients, but it's quite impossible to fit in with all this expert witness work and my ongoing research.
Yes, well, Brian, now you're here, I suppose it's over to you.
Right, Mr. Sherman, stand up, will you?
It's Shearing.
Yes, now, tell me, how has this nasty injury affected the little fella?
Well, I can move the thumb okay now.
Now, that's of minor significance. I want to know why you can no longer satisfy Mrs. Sherwin.
Oh, no, Doctor, you're wrong there. No problems in that department. Well, I've had no complaints.
Let me throw a scenario at you. Your wife wants to make love. You enter the stage of foreplay. A minute or so later, you're about to start intercourse. But all you can think about is a can of figs.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen like that.
But what if it did? Every time your wife wanted to make love, all you could do was become fixated on a cylindrical aluminium container. A closed, sealed, infertile aluminium container. One that fell leaden to the ground. Unable to spill forth its fruitful contents. Surely if that occurred to you repeatedly at that precise moment of intercourse, it could become a serious problem.
Yeah, but that isn't going to happen, is it?
I wouldn't like to say. I will just comment that it's a very positive start that you've acknowledged the problem.
What about degenerative changes, Brian?
Well, I'm a little slower perhaps these days, but I think I'll be able to give my evidence properly.
I think Mr. Fullercart meant the changes to the plaintiff.
Ah, right, yes. Well, bony injury to the thumb of this type, there will inevitably be severe degenerative changes in the form of arthritic impairment and rheumatic disability.
Oh, no.
Mr. Shearsby, if I may say so, The one thing that will not assist you is miserying on to everyone about this.
Well, with the level of impairment which you've, if I may say so, very expertly identified, I think we're talking about injuries and related losses worth something in the region of £150,000.
Oh, yes, very much that area. And might I say how impressed I've been with counsel's and indeed instructing solicitor's ability to grasp what are really very complex medical problems.
Sorry, I was just completing my notes. Was that the right thumb or the left?
One does one's best as a medical layman. Well, the trial should last about 3 weeks. I think we can get through Dr. Masters' evidence on the first day.
Yeah, have we checked the doctor's availability for next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday? I'm fairly quiet next week. I think I've just got the 6 trials penciled in. Yes, I should be able to shuffle things.
Excellent. Well, now, the important thing from your point of view, Mrs. Shearing, is to go home and not worry about all these injuries and the rather grim-sounding knock-on effects. You must try and keep your spirits up.
Right, right. Be positive, eh?
Insofar as you can be, yes. That's the attitude.
Oh, Vince, you found your way here okay, then?
Yes, miss.
Oh, Vince, you're out of chambers. For God's sake, call me Ruth, or at least Miss Quirk. I think you'll like Quaglino's, Vince. The restaurant itself is the creation of Terence Conran, but in fact much of the design was carried out by Jasper Conran, his son, who is an internationally renowned designer.
Yeah, it looks very nice.
Why don't I get him to show us to our table? Waiter! Don't think he saw me. Waiter! Oh, they get incredibly busy here at lunchtime. A lot of people from the city.
Yes, ma'am. Vince! How are you doing?
Charlie P. You look terrible, you old sod.
Gentleman Vincey Griffin, how are you doing, kid?
I'm sorry, could
I... I'm sorry, Miss Charlie Pentangelo. Miss Ruth Quirk.
It's a pleasure.
Charlie P's the, what are you now, Charlie?
Maitre D. Where are you sitting?
We have a table downstairs near the exit.
Oh, I'm afraid that one's no longer available.
But I booked it weeks ago. This is ridiculous.
You're sitting on the top level, best view in the place, and it's quieter. Cor, if I didn't get the big V-man ear pole position, I'd never be able to drive through Dagenham safely again.
You silly old sod.
Well, you two obviously know each other.
Well, sort of.
Well, what about a drink? What can I get you, Vince? Pint of lager?
I don't know, miss. I'll probably end up having a steak. I think I prefer a burgundy. What about a Gevrey Chambertin? I'm not too crucial about it, but I generally prefer the Clos Prieur to the Chanchin.
Want that before or after your lager?
How about instead of?
Oh, right, yes, wine it is. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring you to a restaurant for this talk...
May I take your... Vincent Griffin! Comment allez-vous, mon brave?
Oh, Gilles, oh. Ça va vachement bien.
How's the mother?
Oh, running beautifully, Vincent. The wife really loves it.
Oh, just told you. By Romanian, you can't go wrong. Sorry, Mr. Gilles Corbière, Miss Ruth Quirk.
Hello.
Can we have the Gevrey Chambertin still to play, Gilles?
Ah, may we?
As I was saying, I wanted to bring you here to, well, amongst other things, talk about my practice.
Right, okay.
And it's not that I'm dissatisfied with the work I'm getting. In fact, I like all of the Crown Courts in Essex. It's just that, well, I don't want to be seen as an exclusively criminal practitioner.
Well, it's good bread and butter work, miss. A lot of clerks would struggle to get it for their barristers.
Oh, yes, that's true. And you're absolutely brilliant at getting it. It's fantastic. Obviously very good at networking, especially in the Ilford and Grays area.
Thank you, miss.
I have to say that I can't help noticing that a lot of the people in the cases have some personal connection to you. Not that that's a bad thing, necessarily.
I don't know all of them.
No, true, but in the last couple of weeks, I mean, there was Steve Briggs.
Briggsy, little tearaway. His mum does our ironing.
Yes, and Razor Blind.
Yeah, I play squash with Razor.
Juliana Canietta, Phil DeFreeze, Jason Fitch, and Big Ron Horster.
A friend, a friend's friend, the friend of a friend, and a bloke I used to be friendly with.
Sorry, the point is that I would like to do some other types of work from completely new solicitors. You know... And I'm not citing her as an example. She isn't. But Cherie Booth does a lot of employment law work, you know, industrial tribunals. I'd like to do that. I think I could be good at that.
OK. I'll try and get you some.
Ah, Henry, there you are. Have you got a calculator?
No, sorry. Are you working out his future loss of earnings?
No, I'm just trying to work out 25% of 150,000, isn't it? No matter.
Mr. Fullercart, Mr. Trippin.
Mr. Shearing, ready for the fray?
Well, a bit nervous, but as they say up north, there's out to fear, but fear thyself.
Excellent. What does it mean?
Well, try not to be scared.
How do you think it'll go, then?
Oh, I'm pretty confident. A lot depends on how you come across in the witness box, of course. And to tell you the truth, I'm a little concerned about your voice.
My voice?
Yes, it's terribly clear, and being as you're from Doncaster, it does tend to carry. Remember, you really are a very ill man. Let that come through.
Right. I did just want to ask you about the gloves.
Look, you're going to get something in the region of £150,000. We'll get you a pair of gloves.
No, I meant the protective safety gloves.
Yes, yes. You can have whatever type you like. What protective safety gloves?
The ones they tell you to wear at factory. They put up notices and the foreman's always on at you to wear them. Is it going to matter that I didn't have a mum when I had the accident? What? I don't know why, I just forgot. Even though the works foreman tells her to put them on at the start of each shift.
And these protective safety gloves would have prevented an injury to your thumb had they been worn.
Oh, aye, stop a bullet, they would. I've mentioned it before, but no one asked me. I just assumed it were irrelevant.
Well, would you be so good as to excuse us for a moment, Mr. Shearing?
What the bloody hell's going on?
Do you think it's going to affect liability?
Didn't you ask him about safety equipment?
Well, there's so much else to talk about. It's not fatal, though, is it?
I'm about to go into court on a 3-week no-win, no fee case that a legal team made up of Clarence Darrow, George Carman and God 2C couldn't win. Legal is so stupid.
But surely it's still entitled to representation.
I'm banished for working for nothing. It's disgusting. It's unnatural. I won't have any part in it.
Nothing you can do.
You just watch me. Mr. Shearing, there was something I failed to do in the conference. It was wrong of me. I really must make amends.
Well, you did what you had to do. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but when I got home, I kept thinking about it. Time and time again. You were right about the psychological effect. I can't look at tin fruit. I'm taking it day by day, but baked beans are as far as I can go emotionally at the moment.
Yes, well, it's all question of mind over matter. You don't want to get these things out of proportion. I speak as a barrister of some experience when I say that much of that stuff is, to a degree, soft southern nonsense.
I don't understand.
Well, you see, going to court with all the trauma that a trial entails could actually aggravate your symptoms, you see, and, well, what I'm saying is that really we should try and settle this case immediately.
Settle it? For how much?
Well, I don't know. How does £1,000 sound?
But you said I'd get £150.
All right, £150 it is, then. I think I can say that you've made a very sensible decision.
£1,000? You said £150,000.
Well, why didn't you mention the bloody gloves before, you cretin?
I tried to, but you wouldn't let me.
You people from Doncaster have got an answer for everything, haven't you?
The clients are here for your conference in the employment law case, miss.
Right, right. Thank you. Before you bring them in, Vince, I just want to say thank you.
Oh, I'm sure that's not necessary, miss.
Well, no, but employment law isn't your area, and you've had to start pretty much from scratch. And you've actually got me a really substantial case.
Well, if that's the area of work you want to concentrate on.
I just want you to know that I'm really pleased we had that chat. Actually, I really enjoyed lunch, the whole day, in fact. And it was really nice of you to introduce me to Chris Evans and Danny Baker.
I'm sorry if they nattered on a bit.
Oh, well, I just hope I...
No. I didn't want to go on a string fellows with them anyway. No, I'm glad we had the chat. I mean, I'm not too long in the tooth to be told that a fresh initiative's needed where getting working's concerned.
Oh, Vince Griffin, you're quite a bloke.
I'll just try and do my job. Does you good to move into new areas, making some genuine new contacts. The unknown.
And I won't let you down.
Shall I show him in?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Forgive me, sir.
Oh, Tibbetts. Tony Tibbetts.
Mr. Tony Tibbetts and his solicitor, Mr.
Wolfe. Stuart Wolfe.
Mr. Tony Tibbetts and Mr. Stuart Wolfe. Mr. Brinkwork.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you, Vincent.
I'll just go and get you some teas and coffees.
Well, I've read the papers with a great deal of care, gentlemen, and I can say at the outset, subject to any further instructions you give me, that in my view, Mr. Tibbetts has clearly been unfairly dismissed by Aeroflight UK.
That's excellent.
It's so refreshing to meet counsel prepared to give a firm view.
Well, in my view, you've been subject to a great injustice, and we can recover considerable damages.
Blinded.
Is one glad you're glad?
Nice one.
Well,
yeah, Vince, he was right on the money.
Pardon?
He said he's convinced you was right on the amount of damages. I told you not to mention Vince while we're here.
Vince? Mr. Tibbetts, do you actually work at Aeroflight UK?
Well, I work near there.
Vince?
Have you spoken to him? What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I'm not going to be stuck here for 3 weeks without pay is what I'm going to do.
Court rise. Mr. Fuller Cup.
Yes. I may please, Your Honor. I appear on behalf of the plaintiff in this case together with my learned friends, Chipping and my learned friends, the High Trove appear on behalf of the defendants. Have you had the opportunity to talk to the evening? I'm grateful. I'll call the first witness.
What?
Mr. Jameson, you are the West foreman responsible for the system of tin fruit padding, are you not?
That's right.
Now, just one question. After telling the plaintiff repeatedly to heed the notices about protective gloves and to wear them at all times, you'd agree with me that it was very remotely impossible that it wasn't his fault he didn't wear them?
Aye. Well, not there, it won't.
Fine, okay, I don't have any further
What? You agree that it wasn't the plaintiff's fault he didn't wear the gloves? The defendants were responsible for his injury? Aye. There weren't any gloves available that day. I told the boss on, he didn't want to know. It happened quite a lot. Night shift walked off with them and the firm never had any spares.
So the company were at fault?
Aye. They were an accident waiting to happen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Grimson. Your Honour, I'd like to recall the plaintiff.
Well, that's all right then. Yes, I know. He must have some grudge against the company. Who cares? We're back. What's 25%? Oh, well, never mind.
Mr. Shearing, can I just take you through once again some of the harrowing effects of this injury?
Well, I'm finding it all a bit stressful, really.
Yes, I'm sure you are, and it is very. Please do take your time. Tell us about the loss of mobility in the hand.
Right, okay. Well, actually, I'm not feeling so good.
Excellent. No, indeed, how could you be? A man who has suffered as you have, please, in your own time, do tell us about the appalling pain in your thumb.
Right, well, oh, excuse me, the anxiety to try.
Of course, of course.
You're doing it, David, don't milk it.
I'm getting chest pain.
Could you concentrate on the thumb?
I've got this feeling of tightness in the chest.
Don't be a fool, the chest is the one place that won't leave the injury spread to. No, you're overdoing it. Get up. He's fine, Your Honour.
I think he's having a heart attack.
No, he isn't.
Someone call an ambulance. Is there a doctor in court?
Your Honour, yes, but would it be terrible if I beg leave to dash? I got a whiplash trial in court.
If the plaintiff isn't fit to continue, his claim fails.
He is fit. Look. See, he's just winded. How'd it go, sir?
It's incredible. You're trying to help a client, they just don't know how to be grateful.
Did you lose?
Well, not exactly, no. The bloody client sacked us halfway through a case. This never happened to me before.
I think we were okay until you got him in a half Nelson.
I did not. I was trying to get him back into the witness box. What I was doing could loosely be called the Heimlich manoeuvre. You do realise that if the silly sod hadn't hit me with his right hand, the judge would never have made the finding that his thumb had fully recovered. I must be rather sorry for you, Hillary.
No, I was glad you ducked the second time.
How is he?
Fine, thank you.
I really would like to make this up to you in some way. I mean, it was your case originally, and for neither of us to make any money out of it.
It's okay, you know, put it down to experience.
No, Hillary, my sense of honour requires me to ensure that this injustice of non-payment is
correct. There's really no need.
It's too late. I've already had a word with Dr. Masterson. When you sue that bastard Shearing for your personal injuries, I insist on representing you on a conditional fee basis. Shall we say 15% of the damages, with an uplift if we can persuade the court that there's been a genuine interruption to your love life.
You've been listening to Chambers, starring John Byrd, James Fleet, Sarah Lancashire and Jonathan King, with Peter Gunn, Jeffrey Whitehead and Chris Pavlow. Chambers is written by Clive Coleman and produced by Paul Schlesinger.